if a person's tefillin ever become worn out or unusable, so they have to be buried just like any forms of shemos. This highlights the fact that tefillin is in a category that we know as dvarim shel kedusha, as opposed to chefta shel kedusha, as opposed to chefta shel mitzvah. Okay, we don't find that a person needs to bury his lulav, or a person needs to bury his esrog, or even the strings of his tzitzis. Strictly speaking, the Mishnah says in Megillah that those can be thrown away. We go the extra mile and we'll wrap it up. We'll try to give as much respect as we can. There's an in the Gemara, once something was used for one mitzvah, you should use it for another mitzvah. You should use your tzitzis strings, cut them off, or disconnect them and use them as a bookmark for your svarim. Or many people burn their lulav together with the chametz. But strictly speaking, there's no more significance to them after you finish performing the mitzvah, as opposed to those which are in the category of kedusha, such as tefillin, such as the Sefer Torah, mezuzah, and the like, which are inherently kadosh, not simply because you're performing a mitzvah with them at the time. So therefore, even after they've expired, so to speak, you're not using it anymore because they've become worn out. They need to be put in geniza. They have to be buried. Now, once there's a category, number two, known as kedusha, so we can further categorize secondary items as well, accordingly, tashmishi kedusha and tashmish to tashmish. So you have the tefillin, and then you have the things which serve the gufa kedusha, or they beautify them. So this category of tashmish kedusha is similar in some ways to the kedusha atzma, not exactly. Whereas the next level after that, tashmish to tashmish, the things that service the secondary level, those don't really have any kedusha at all. And we'll discuss what falls into what category and what the nafkaminas are. Number three. Let's take an example. The plastic boxes that you place the tefillin in are examples of tashmishe kedusha because they protect and they cover the tefillin themselves, which are the gufa kedusha. The velvet cover of Sefer Torah is also going to be in that same category. So, nafkamina, when the boxes are broken and need to be replaced, you put them in geniza. Okay? A mezuzah case, if you can't use it anymore, you need to put that in shemus. Another way in which the kedusha or tashmishe kedusha express their status is through the din of Milo Mekodesh Ve'in Moridin. Okay? So you can't do something that downgrades the item from the status that we designate it with or use it for a lesser purpose. Number four is an example of that. You have your classic velvet tefillin bag where the tefillin and the boxes are placed. So we'll call that Tashmishi Gedusha. Number one, they beautify the tefillin themselves and they also envelop and protect the rituals. Okay? So even when the tefillin boxes, the bottom, are in the plastic compartments, there's also the rituals that are protected and beautified by the velvet bag. Okay? So number one, you can't throw that out either. If a person's velvet tefillin bag became worn out, it needs to be replaced, so then you should put that in shemus if you have to discard it. Moreover, what we're adding now is that you also can't put other items of lesser significance inside the tefillin bag. That would be a horodah from the Kedusha, Ma'alam HaKodesh V'ein Moridin. Okay? So tzedakah, money even for tzedakah, they can give during davening, your sitter, should not put it in the velvet bag that the tefillin are in. Okay? Along those lines, Alek Yosher testified about his Rebbe, the Trumas Hadeshin, that he would kiss the covers of his tefillin if they fell on the floor. It would be the same thing. Even if there was nothing in it, if the empty velvet tefillin bag fell on the floor, nothing in it, in theory, according to that, you would pick it up, you would kiss it, because they have a status of Tashmisha Gedusha. So now, number five, it may be different if someone stipulated from the beginning, before they put anything in the tefillin bag, in the first place, that I want to use it for sitter as well. Okay, but most people usually don't do that. There are some details we can discuss another time. Rather, what you do is you get a plastic bag to put around the velvet bag, because now what's that? That's tashmish de tashmish. Okay, so the tefillin are the kedusha, the velvet bag is tashmish kedusha, and the plastic bag around it is tashmish de tashmish. So if that gets worn out, and that happens pretty often, if it gets damaged, that you can just throw right in the garbage. Okay, but what's important now is that you can store other things in it. That's where you should put your sitter. You have the tefillin, and then and in the plastic bag, you should put your sitter, whatever else you want to keep in there. It's also helpful just to protect the velvet from the rain. It's another reason why people do it. But it also provides you with a place to keep things that would otherwise be a downgrade of the kedusha of the tefillin themselves. Number six, another nafkamina. Someone just asked me this recently. Let's say you have one of those chayalim, hard, you know, plastic tefillin holders, right? Okay, so let's say you come to shachar in the morning, you take out the tefillin, you put them on, and then you turn it upright so you can prop your tefillin on it like a shtender. Okay, so let's think about that. That would not be okay. Why? Because the sitter is not on the same level as the tefillin. Okay, and you're using the tashmishe kedusha, which serves the tefillin, to serve a lesser item, okay, such as a sitter. Okay? So as a result, you're downgrading the Kedusha. So one should not prop up his sitter on the hard plastic container by turning it up like that, because it's on a lower level. Truth is, even if you have a regular velvet bag for your tefillin, and it's covered with a plastic zipper bag, you shouldn't put your sitter on top of it, because ultimately it's still being supported by the Tashmisha Kedusha, which are designated for the tefillin and not for something lesser than the tefillin. Although, another thing that people do sometimes is, let's say you have a sitter, and the sitter doesn't stay open on its own. So you tuck it underneath the tefillin bag, right, to prop it open. So here's a tzad to be making, okay? It was more obvious. I was just thinking about this morning. More obvious for me. So I have a much larger plastic bag, which has a talis bag in it. Okay, so none of this applies to the talis bag. Talis bag is not tashmish kedusha, because the talis is not tashmish kedusha. It's not a chefetz shel kedusha. It's a chefetz shel mitzvah. So the plastic bag surrounding the talis and the tefillin, okay, it's much bigger than the tefillin bag itself. So if you want to tuck it in under the edge, the plastic part, which that part of the plastic only services, or it's only supported by, right, the tallest part of it, or likewise to prop your sitter on top of the plastic, not above where the tefillin bag is, maybe above where the tallest bag is, that would be okay, because that part of the bag does not service the kedusha atzma or the tashmisha kedusha, and so would be permissible. Okay. Next, number 7, tashmish hamita, married couple. It's usher for them to have relations in a room where there is a cheftz of kedusha, such as tefillin, svarim, or mezuzos. Rather, they need to be removed from a room, or, as is usually the case, in a bedroom. So the mezuzah is going to be positioned on the outside half of the doorpost. So if you close the door, it's in a different reshus. But ideally, if you have a pair of tefillin, let's say a person is traveling and they're in a hotel room, and we're talking about tefillin. We're talking about Svarim. Okay, so they should be removed from the room, or at least placed in a closet, something which is large enough, something perhaps behind the mechitza. There's a lot of details about these halachos. We'll talk about it when it's practical. But if it's in a closet or something like that, it's large enough, or behind the partition, that's a separate shus, a separate domain, and therefore it's as if it's in a different room practically. Alternatively, the Shulchan Aruch, also based on the Gemara, has an application of the din of kli b'sol kli, a double covering. Okay? Double covering accomplishes the same if you cannot take the tefillin out of the room. However, when it comes to these halachos, a double covering means a double covering beyond what it's normally covered with. So after you're done with the plastic bag, you have it in a suitcase, and then you can put a sheet on top of it. Just giving an example, okay? So double covering over and above what it's normally enveloped by is what's necessary if you're unable to take it out of the room. Okay, in terms of entering the bathroom with tefillin or safer and the like, so here, we really don't want to use the rule of kli b'sol kli, even though a lot of people do. Rather, what it comes down to is whether or not you have another option of a makom meshumar, a guarded area. In other words, let's say I'm at an airport, okay, and I have my phone with me, and I need to use the bathroom. So if you have a friend, if you have someone you can leave it with, so give them the tefillin and go inside. But if you have no one to leave it with, then in theory you could bring it into the bathroom even if you don't have something to make a double cover with. All you can do, I mean, it's not such a big deal to do that with double cover, because you can put it in your backpack and then put something above it inside the backpack. But in theory, even if I don't have a double covering, because I'm bringing it inside for the sake of there's no other alternative, there's no makom meshumar. Whereas if I use the bathroom over here, I'm carrying a sefer, or I have a pocket mishnayos, pocket chumash, we all should have. So if there's a radiator right outside the bathroom, you put it on top. Going to be there when you come out in 5 minutes. So if there's no need to bring it inside, there is a makom meshumar where it's not going to disappear, it's not going to be hefker, so then that would be what you should do. So leave it outside. Number 9, when it comes to a chetz shel kedusha, we do find in Shulchan Aruch that a woman who is a nida should not touch a sefer Torah. Obviously important for the question of the hakafos. But as far as tefillin is concerned, a woman who is a nida may touch them or move them if necessary, or the like. Number 10, Ramah brings down that we should not allow even little kids to run around without clothing on in front of the Shabbos candles, because it's a bizayon to the mitzvah. So the Shulchan Aruch Rav extends this to Svarim, and Tefillin would obviously be the same. It would be a little bit different in scenarios when they're in a bookcase or the like, but one should in general avoid changing dirty diapers for sure in front of Tefillin or Svarim whenever possible, or at least position himself between the child, their dirty diaper, and the svarim. But to keep that in mind, that's also part of the maintaining the integrity and the honor that we give to svarim and that we give to tefillin. And Mirat Hashem, tomorrow we'll go on to a new topic in halacha. It's a big zchus, just to add, one of the former talmidim, one of the alumni, sent me a kasha this morning on one thing we said from a few shiurim ago. Please, anyone who's in the shiur now, anyone who's been in the shiur in the past, please feel free to share questions, and we'll add them to the shiur as well.